go, Skippy, go!" Julie gasped. The hind was still making a terrible rattling noise, and there was dark smoke trailing behind us. The dragon was banking hard, wings spread wide, and for a moment it was illuminated in a brilliant spotlight for the entire world to see. I didn't know how complete the evacuation was, but somebody was going to have some explaining to do.
"Get us back to the quarantine line. Let me off, and then the rest of you run like hell."
Julie looked at me like I was stupid.
"That's not going to happen."
"You can't come with me."
"Really? And why the hell not?"
I really wish there was a better way to handle this. I screwed up my courage and dropped the bomb.
"You're pregnant."
Wait, what?
She really hadn't seen that coming.
"I can't be. How?"
I couldn't resist. Near-death experiences bring out my inner smartass.
"When a mommy and a daddy love each other very much..."
"Ah, no! But I'm not... How do you know?" "Wait. Earl. That ass!"
"Yay! Babies!"
said Skippy as way of congratulations. Tanya agreed.
"Aw, cute."
Julie went white as a sheet, and not just at the prospect of impending motherhood. She was the smart one in our relationship.
"It might be hereditary."
She'd realized what I had been thinking.
"The Nachtmar called you chosen. He talked about breaking into your mind and enslaving you."
"Right. That whole bloodline thing. I don't know, but the poor bastard that's stuck as its current host is sort of like me. Will this kid be like me, too?" I was some sort of cosmic intersection of weirdness, and Julie was all sorts of cursed. I wouldn't take odds on this one.
"Maybe. I hope not, but we're not going to find out. This thing is not going to possess my kid. No way. Screw that."
"I can't leave you."
But even as she said it, she knew she was wrong. Julie bit her lip and nodded. It was a lot of information to process.
"I'll hit the ground running."
That was wishful thinking. I'd hit the ground limping.
"I'll find Mosh and Holly. They were with the host last. I want the Nachtmar to intercept me. I want both halves of it, him, whatever, in the same place."
"And then what?"
"I talk them into surrendering."
"Talk?"
"Yeah, pretty much."
"You? Talk? Oh, we're screwed."
"Thanks, hon." I checked out the door. The dragon had got turned around and was heading back up the strip. I wouldn't have much time at all. My leg was throbbing, and since I hadn't walked on it for a bit, it was probably going to be extra stiff. "I'll go as fast as I can." Edward was more perceptive than he looked, and he'd seen how buggered up my leg had been earlier. He handed me a flask.
"Drink."
It smelled like rancid pond water.
"Gretchen, make. Help feats."
She was their healer, after all, and I'd benefited from some of her crazy remedies before. She insisted that her magical remedies needed to be fresh and made for a specific person, but this was worth a shot. It tasted worse than it smelled, and burned going down. I passed Gretchen's magic energy drink back to Edward and tried not to puke. My injured foot began to tingle, which was either a good sign or a bad sign. I could only hope that the feds would have some weaponry down there that would buy me some time. Edward was rubbing his arm. The big case that had struck him was leaning on the seat next to him.
"What's that?"
The case had a pink invoice on the outside. Anzio Ironworks to Milo Anderson / MHI for test and evaluation purposes. It was one of Milo's free samples that he had bragged about picking up at the trade show. I popped the latches. "Please be good. Please be good."
"What the hell is that?"
Since I was the biggest gun nut in the company, me not recognizing a firearm was especially notable. Julie adjusted her bungee cord so she could come over to see. She whistled. I don't know, but it's huge. It was ridiculous. It was shaped like a rifle, but it made my Barrett look like a .22. It was also disassembled to fit the foam cutouts of the case, but it looked like it went back together fairly rapidly.
Where's the rest of it?
Ed pointed at another case that had been under this one. Julie began dragging it out. Put together, this gun had to be longer than I was tall. The case felt like it weighed 100 pounds.
Is there ammo?
Julie cracked open the other one. Here's the barrel. Muzzle brake is the size of a phone book. Owner's manual.
Okay, there's a few rounds.
Julie hefted one.
But they're the size of bowling pins.
What is that? Freaking 20mm? Isn't that what fighter jets shoot?
Never mind. I need to move fast. I'll never be able to lug this thing around with me. I guess there is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
I was hoping for a weapon, not a piece of farm equipment.
Almost there, Skippy warned. Much fog. Hard to see.
I closed the case. The ground below us was soupy, but lights glowed through the thick mist. It seemed heavy enough that it had congealed close to the ground. The actual pillar of smoke was entirely gone, spilled loose into the city. And there, battered and looking like it had been the victim of an air raid, was the Last Dragon Hotel and Casino. The top floors blasted and scorched, dark without power, but most importantly, it was here. Hopefully our friends had returned with it.
Put me on top of the Taj parking garage. You see it? Straight ahead. Next to the white one with the big dome in the middle.
The hind turned and we were heading for the top. Most of the cars were gone, so there was plenty of room to land. I checked behind us, but couldn't pick the dragon out of the dark. I couldn't feel the buffeting effect of its mighty wings, so that was a good sign. Maybe I'd be able to get inside before I got stepped on. Unhooking my safety cord, I got ready to hop out. Julie grabbed my arm.
You can't?
I have to. I took her hand. She was worried about me, but I was mostly worried that I was wrong, and that it wasn't after me at all. If the Noctmar was after a different potential host,
promise me you'll keep moving.
She pulled me in and gave me a quick kiss on the lips. There wasn't any time to enjoy it.
Be careful.
And then our tires struck the top of the parking garage, and it was time to go. I will. I love you. No time for hesitation. I took Abomination in hand and leapt out the door. Pain shot up my legs, but I managed not to spill over. Extending one hand, I waved at the hind as it rolled away, blasting me with rotor wash. Julie waved back, hiding the fact that she was terrified, but for me. She was never scared for herself. It wasn't until they lifted off that I realized that she hadn't promised to flee like I'd asked.
Oh, please don't go stubborn on me this time.
Run, Julie, run. The chopper turned away and I lost sight of her. I jumped when Ed tapped me on the shoulder. He was so damn quick that I hadn't even seen him go out the opposite door.
What are you doing here?
Edward shrugged like, I'm a swordmaster. What was I supposed to do in the sky? There was a breeze. Then it was calm. Then another breeze. The dragon was flapping its way here, pissed off, on fire, and filled with 1,000 years of nightmares that it really wanted to share.
Let's go. We had to get out of the open. The fastest way to do that was down the nearby car ramp.
Every step was agonizing, but I limped and cringed along. Gretchen's energy drink wasn't helping much. But I could stop and whine about it when I wasn't in imminent danger of getting squished.
Marsh is inside, downstairs.
Ed just grunted. He didn't care about the particulars. He just wanted the opportunity to stab a dragon. Tanya had no idea what a catch she'd made. I got on the radio.
Come in, MCB. This is Owen Pitt with MHI. There is a dragon inbound toward the Taj parking garage. Repeat, dragon. Anybody listening?
The ramp led down to the next level. It was darker here. The escaped nightmare fog clung to the floor, so thick that we couldn't see our feet. The fog had no smell. It was simply moist and dense. However, the air smelled like oil smoke. Grant and Archer's distraction had been nearby. Even if somebody was listening to the radio right now, I was probably the boy that cried wolf.
I say again, there's a dragon about to land on the Taj parking garage. I'd recommend somebody shooting it down. Stricken, if you can hear me, you'll know I'm telling the truth real quick.
There was nothing. Back in the real world, they might still be jamming, or they might have all been killed by the spilling of the nightmare world. Thinking of that, I looked toward the unseen floor. It reminded me of the glycerin fog of the nightclub where Green had got his foot sawed off. Would the Nachmar stay in dragon form, or would it turn into something else and come at us sideways? Would it pick a new vision, or would it be too proud to give up the epic nightmare skin it was wearing? There was a sudden roar and a crash as the dragon slammed into the concrete above us. That answered that question. The Nachtmar screamed its fury and filled the sky with an arc of fire. It illuminated the entire garage through the open sides. He probably didn't realize he'd done me a favor, because the reflection made it easy for me to spot the enclosure that led to the casino.
Over there!
Limping along, I tried to ignore the rumbling as the dragon shifted above. The jackhammer strikes that were making concrete flecks fall from above were its claws as it moved toward the ramp. Car alarms began going off, only to be silenced as the Nachtmar flicked the cars over the edge in annoyance. Ed was half my size, so it wasn't like he could help me as I hopped along nearly as effectively as Lococo had, but he was also really fast, and I was just holding him back. He ran over to the door and opened it for me. Ed began fiddling with the door mechanism with a knife. I had no idea what he was doing.
Marsh is down a few floors.
Great war chief, Ed agreed. Go save.
Save everybody, I agreed.
Edward pressed something into my hand. It was a small leather bag.
What's this?
Give Tanya for Ed,
he answered cryptically. The dragon was coming down the ramp. Even with its wings tucked in tight and scraping along the walls, it was a tight squeeze down the path that could hold two buses side by side. Its head came around the corner first, undulating on its long neck. The beast was craggy, armored in plates, and covered in spikes the size of rhino horns. It was lightless black, but at the edges where the plates met was just the hint of red light, as if a great internal furnace was leaking heat through the cracks. It was so imposing that for a moment I was frozen with fear. I was no stranger to terrifying beasts. This was something different, something that gnawed at the very edges of your psyche. I shook my head and broke the spell. In those few seconds, it had drawn itself fully into the garage. Cars were crushed beneath its feet, or struck by a horn or tooth, lifted effortlessly, and rolled out of the way. There was no way we could escape that thing. It was just too big, too powerful, and there was nothing standing in its way it couldn't just plow through. But I still had to try. I entered the casino. Edward shut the door behind me, with him still on the other side.
Ed?
I turned back. There was a small glass window in the center. He was watching me through it with sad yellow eyes. Time to go.
What are you doing?
I grabbed the door, but the handle wouldn't engage. He disabled it with his knife.
Ed!
I pounded on the door.
Come on! Ed!
The orc tilted his head to the side, studying me. The dragon was growing behind him, plowing its way through the fog and the parked cars. He took off his ski mask, revealing his real face. Ed gave me a little bow.